Hello and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, "Having the proper perspective is pretty important in life. There are so many examples of times where I lacked the correct angle to see something, and boy, was it embarrassing, hurtful, or even shameful. In a world that screams for our glance, our hearing, our minds, we need to come back or start having a proper perspective of God and why we are here on this earth. This applies to us as a congregation and us as individuals. Psalm 66 helps remind us of how great our God is and what our response should be as we live life. Here is Pastor Aaron.
As we open up the Word of God, first, just want to say welcome. I want to say if you're visiting with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here. Inside of your bulletin is a communication card. You can rip that off and a little bit later during our offertory. And you can place that in the offering plate as our way of communicating, your way of communicating with us. For those of us who are regular attenders, members here, I want to encourage you again to use that communication card this morning to communicate maybe something that's on your heart, something that's going on in your life, but also too as a follow-up to what we want to hear from as we walk through the Word this morning. So Psalm 66. Before we dig in, just let's spend some time in the Word, but before we do that, knowing that as we come to the Word, we need God to reveal what that Word says, and so let's ask His help for that. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for the opportunity as we have gathered here in this place. We pray that You would that You'd encourage our hearts. I pray that we would walk away encouraged, filled, Lord, today. I pray that our minds and our spirits, Lord, that we would be filled up, and it's because we've met with You. It's because we've worshiped You. It's because we've heard from You. And so, Lord, I pray that You would do Your good work in us today. Thank You for each one that's here. Thank You for their love for You, their love for one another. Thank You for this church, Lord, and how You have blessed us. And I pray that today would be a special day. Lord, do Your work through Psalm 66. Reveal Your heart to us that we may walk in it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 66, as we look at this psalm, we're not sure exactly who wrote this psalm. It's probably from David. It has a lot of similarities to some of the psalms that David writes. It is a psalm of praise. There are different types of psalms. This is one of praise. And as we see this, again, it's one that was to be sung. And so as we look at the breakdown, one of the things that we'll see is a word, Selah. And that word, Selah, can mean possibly different things. And there's questions, there's debate about what exactly that means, whether that means pause, like a musical term, where there's a pause, or amen, yes, say it again. There are different ways of viewing that. I think when we look at this, there's definitely a division after this word Selah about the attention, the focus. And so we want to look at that as we look at the breakdown of this psalm. I believe this psalm helps us to look at perspective. And so as you come in here today, you might see life in one view. You might be looking at life in one sense. But not that sense, that perspective is not always correct, right? How many of you who were married and first married, when you got married, you saw your wife or your husband in a different sense, where you thought they were doing this or saying this, but in reality they were saying or doing something different? I'm not going to give a whole lot of illustrations because I don't want to embarrass myself this morning, because it's mainly me that's going to look bad. But we all struggle at times as we walk through life looking at someone or something with the proper perspective. And when we can see God with a proper perspective, it changes everything. And so when we come to this psalm, it is critical for us, because I really believe this song is trying to get its hearers and its singers to see a proper perspective of who God is. And so that's my prayer for you this morning as you think about your perspective on life, your perspective of how things are going, as your perspective as you walk throughout your week, whether you're at work or with your family, a proper perspective is critical. Let's look at it. Let's read through it. Psalm 66 is to the choir master, a song or a psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies come cringing to You. All the earth worships You and sings praises to You. They sing praises to Your name. Selah. What we see here first is the introduction of the idea of giving God, of making a noise, of elevating the opportunity that you and I have to shout, to sing, to proclaim. We are not only just thinking this, we are not only just believing this, but the psalmist is encouraging us and saying, you need to have a response. And that response is to shout for joy, to sing the glory, to give Him glorious praise. Pet peeve for me. Can I share a pet peeve? As a pastor, I only have a couple. As a pastor, it is a pet peeve of me, of mine, as I've grown in my walk with the Lord and as a pastor, for those who want to come into church and they only want to hear a sermon. They don't want to do the singing. They don't want to do the worship. I know not everybody's musical. I know not everybody enjoys music. Not everybody enjoys a style or enjoys singing. You may feel embarrassed. You may feel like I'm not gifted to sing. I can't sing. I can't do that. I get all that. But you cannot argue away what the Word of God is saying when it says, shout, sing, give praise. This wasn't an option for Israel. It is not an option as we gather together for you to, hey, I'm not going to sing that song because I don't like it. Or I don't even know this song, or I can't even follow this song. I wondered what it would be like if we could go back in time, if we could set up our film strip, and we could see Israel as they crossed the Red Sea and they gathered on the other side and as they proclaimed to God how great He was. We serve, we say that we love the same God who delivered Israel, the same God that we read stories, that the truth of God's Word, the same God that lives in us, that lived in the people of ages ago, that is our God, and we have the great privilege of coming and singing and shouting and giving praise to our God, the one true living God. That should excite us. It should help us with the perspective of our lives and all that's gone on this week to be able to come into a place that God has graciously gifted us to gather with people who are like-minded, who love God, who are like us, who struggle and who have challenges and difficulties, who are experiencing some of the very same things that we are experiencing, to get together one day at one time and to refocus, to bring our perspective back into place and say, God, we love You. God, we praise You. God, You are good. To reorganize, to put together the proper perspective requires us to have action. The second part of this is verses 5 through 7. In this psalm it says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river. Rejoice in Him who rules by His might forever, who keeps watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Here, this second section is okay, hey, shout, give glory to God. But I want you to come and see. Think back with me. Come and see what God has done. That's an area that we get to enjoy as we fellowship with one another. I want to tell you what God's done. I want to share with you the goodness of God, and as we gather together, come and see what God is doing. I just want to take a quick time out here and just say thank you for those of you who were so kind and generous. Last Sunday, I shared about just being dry, and I walked away feeling like, man, I want to be dry all the time because, God, you showed up in a real way, and only God could do that, and that is so cool, and it's humbling, too. Less of me and more of him. I think of what John the Baptist says as he sees Jesus off on the distance. He's like, less of me and more of him, more of you. And that's the cry of our heart. And I just want to say this week I've seen how God is working and how he continues to work in lives and in people's lives. You're going to hear in just a little bit from Jen and Morgan. I love Jen and Morgan, but they're nothing different than all the rest of you, right, Jen and Morgan? I mean, they are people who, I remember the Wednesday night that Jen Allison walked into this facility. She walked in here on Wednesday night, came to prayer meeting, didn't know Christ, and she just started a relationship with people here. And how God, through these years, has grown her and taught her and has ministered to her and Morgan as they've grown in their faith. They're just like you and me, but God is doing that work. That's part of gathering together. We get to see what God is doing, to think back and to remember. Man, do you remember when God did that? Remember when God provided that? It provides us encouragement and hope, but it also provides a hope for the future as we move forward to say, God, we see you working. What do you want from us now? What do you desire for us as we serve you now? What is that? What's that next step that you desire for us? And that's something that our leadership, we continue to wrestle with because I believe we are at a stage where we, by the end of this year, we're going to be presenting things to you as a congregation that are going to take faith. It's going to take faith for us to take these next steps because we're seeing God work. We're seeing God work in our midst and in our lives and in our community. And I'm really, really excited about that. Understanding it's not about me and it's not about you, but it's about us coming to see what God is doing, giving him praise and giving him glory because he is the one, as this section in the psalm says, he's the one who has delivered. He's the one that made the ground dry as Israel passed over the Red Sea. Let's look at the third section, verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. In response of coming and seeing, he says, bless, O our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip? For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You have laid a crushing burden on our back. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Is that where you're sitting today? You can say, man, I've been through a lot, but God's provided for me. God's delivered for me. And I sit here as a person who sits in abundance. I hope that's you. And if you're in the midst of trial, if you're in the midst of fire, you're drowning in the water, I want you to know God is right there and he's not going to let go. He loves you and he cares for you and he wants to provide for you. He isn't doing this laying, like in verse 11, laying a crushing burden on our back. He doesn't do that in spite of your sin. He doesn't do that to get back at you because you've disappointed him. He does that to grow us, to help us walk closer with him, to grow in our faith and our dependence, to realize that it is God. It is God who provides. It is God who delivers our very soul. Now, what's interesting in verse 13, there's a shift. If you look at the, I believe it's personal pronoun, it's now changed. It goes from we and us to I. And so the psalmist is making this very, very specific. In verse 13, he says, I will come to your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted animals and with the smoke the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. See, the psalmist takes this from a congregation, hey, this is us. Let's look, come and see. This is absolutely amazing. Our God has provided. We've been through hardship. We've been through struggle. And here's his response. It's personal. Because you and I can't control anyone else, can we? I realize that. If you have children, you realize that. All right? Children, grandchildren, you can't control them. You just hope to corral them. And sometimes it's like herding cats. All right? They're just running everywhere. The only person that you and I can control, the only one that we ultimately can have a choice is us, me, individually. And the psalmist says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise my God. In response, I'm going to come and offer offerings to him. I'm going to give to him offerings, things that he has blessed me with. I'm going to give back as a token of my love and as a token of obedience. This it's almost worded in such a way that there is no other option. I have to do this. And for those of you who have had that conviction before, when you give praise to God, when you see what he has done, you feel so convicted, you feel so compelled, I've got to do this. And if I don't do this for God, I'm going to be disobedient. I remember this with Andrew and Susan. And I remember going to the deacons, and this was after my sabbatical, and I came to the deacons, and I said, hey, this has been heavy on my heart, and I had talked to Bob a little bit about our music and ministry, and he said, hey, I think we need to move in this direction, and we were on page together, and I sat down with the deacons after a long period of praying during my sabbatical and just fasting even, and just saying, Lord, what is it that you want? And Andrew and Susan were down in Ashland at that time, and so I had kind of teased years and years before, and then I finally stopped teasing because I knew it was burdensome on them. But I knew God was using Andrew down there at the church in Ashland and with the youth group there, a large youth group, and helping to train the teens in their music ministry. And I just went to them, and I told the deacons, I said, I feel so compelled that we need to go and ask Andrew and Susan if they would pray about, if they would see if God would want them to move back up into our area and to be a part of the ministry here at West Tilghman. I said, they may say no, and ultimately that has to be, we have to be okay with that. But I feel so compelled that if we don't ask them, that I feel that I'm sinning and I'm not pursuing what God wants. Man, that's a deep conviction, and you better be convicted. And I was. I was for sure in so many ways thinking they're going to say no. They don't want to move. They've got a good place down there. They got a great church. They're an hour away. They're far enough away from their families that they're on their own. They don't want to come back up here closer to their families. But that's a joke. But ultimately, when I sat there and followed up with them sometime later, I sat in amazement, and as they shared, and I said, finally, because they weren't telling me anything, we went through a whole lunch and everything, and I'm like, okay, guys, because I'm thinking this is all bad news, because if it's good news, you want to share it in the beginning. We go to lunch and everything, and have all kinds of great conversation, but they don't say anything about what they've decided. So finally, we were back at their place, and I said, okay. I said, lay it on me. What do you guys feel that God wants for you? And they said, well, we feel like God may be calling us there. I'm like, yeah. And it's that confirmation to say, okay, God, you did lay this on our heart. God, you have put such a burden on me that if I don't pursue this, if I don't do this, that I know, regardless of the outcome, I know if I don't pursue this, that this is sinning against you. The response that we have to God and God's leading in each of our lives, you've got to be obedient to that. You've got to be obedient to what God is calling for each of us to do. And it must line up with the Word of God. It isn't about, oh, well, you know, my wife just doesn't love me anymore, and I just feel like God's calling me to divorce her. No, that's contrary to the Word of God. Don't use your sinfulness to try to read into what I'm saying here. Ultimately, God's Word is truth, and as we read it and study it, God will guide us and lead us, and we need to be obedient to Him. It's our individual, every single one of us has to respond to God. We have a choice to respond in obedience or to respond in disobedience. The choice is yours. I can't make you do it, and you can't make me do it. But think about this. If you choose to obey God, and the person that's sitting in the pew next to you, they choose to obey God, and I choose to obey God, what do we start to see? We start to see a world that is transformed. We start to see a community that is changed. We start to see God working. And that happens when we follow and we listen and we respond to God. The final section here, verses 16 through 20. There's another call. Just like we see in verse 5, verse 16 says this, "Come and not see this time, but come and hear. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love for me." There's a call to come and hear. We need to be united together in fellowship to be able to listen to one another and to hear what God is doing. It's interesting. I did some word study that I can't dig in deep with you. It's kind of like I realized on my sabbatical when I was preaching, I was trying to feed the whole pie to you. And pie is really good, but you don't need a whole pie. You just need a couple bites of the pie, okay? Sometimes you get a piece, sometimes you get a couple bites. What's interesting as you look at this, verse 3 says, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds." That word awesome, in its very root of Hebrew, is talking about fear. And the idea of come and see in the fearful works of God. And I wonder in some ways if we lost an element of that today. As much as we want, and I want to preach to you the personalness of God, how God is loving and He is kind, He is gentle, He is patient, He is long-suffering with us. His loving kindness endures forever. As we look at the character of God, I believe that maybe, and this psalm reminds me, maybe we've lost a sense of fear, a healthy fear of who God is, what He has done, and what He can do. This last section, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what He has done for my soul." We need a healthy fear of God. Do you believe that? If you don't have a healthy fear of God, you need to pray about that, and I'd love to talk to you about it. Because God is so high, He is so mighty, He is so great. Last week I talked to you a little bit about the word Yahweh being so magnificent that this was a God that they didn't even want to say His name anymore, so they created another way, named Father, Adonai, later on. Because they viewed their God as so great, so powerful, and so mighty. And sometimes I think as we walk around, we lose the sense of fear, of a reverence. Because when we have that sense of fear and reverence, and we see God provide, and we see God show up, we can't help but to shout, to give praise to God, to give thanks to Him. You have an opportunity this morning not to sing to Andrew or to the band that's up here. You don't have an opportunity just to sing with the people around you. We have an opportunity together and individually to lift up our voice and to give praise to God. Think about what God has done for you. Think about how God has provided and how God has delivered you. Is there one thing that you can put your finger on this morning? As we pause and we're going to pray here in just a minute. Is there one thing that God, that you would ask God to give you a proper perspective of so that you could give Him glory? Maybe you've done that. Maybe you can already see it and you're like, Lord, only you could do that. Maybe you're working through that. Maybe you're like that process that the psalmist says here, like silver refining. Refining silver is a process, and ultimately when you put the silver in that blazing oven fire, it has to be an intense heat. In order to remove the impurities, it has to be thrust into the fire, not just once, but several times, over and over. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're in the midst of a fire, and it's hard for you to see, what is this perspective? I want to encourage you. Give shout to God. Because He's worthy of it. He's in charge. He's in control. And He has your best in mind. He wants the best for you. He wants you to grow in your faith, in your trust, and in your dependence. Let's give to Him a shout. Let's give Him glory today. Would you pray with me? Lord, thanks for the opportunity as we've gathered here in Your place, as we've read Your Word, and as we have now an opportunity to respond in through our voices, through music, but Lord, also continuing through our lives, through the offering, through the giving of our minds, of our time, of our energies. Lord, I pray that You would help us to see a proper view of God, who You are and how mighty and how great You are, to be able to glance and to see how good You've been to us, and to also acknowledge that even in the difficult times that You are still there, guiding us, leading us, hoping and desiring for us to trust You and to rely upon You and to depend upon You. And as you sit there now in your prayer, would you give praise to God for what He's done in your life? No matter what's going on in your life, would you acknowledge that God is a great God? That He is worthy of your praise. Lord, as we respond to Your Spirit's work in our life this morning, I pray that we would be so convicted as we walk today and this week, that we would be so burdened and so consumed with You and Your Word and Your Spirit, that we couldn't help but to be obedient, knowing that it's the very thing that You've set us here on this earth to do, to give You glory, to enjoy You, and to display Your glory to others. And we do that as we walk with You, as we're obedient to You. We need Your help, Lord. So help us to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.